A view of planet Earth from space, and the words Universal, an MCA company. On screen is written, "For thousands of years, a religious order known as the Druids worshipped trees, sometimes even sacrificing human beings to them. To these worshippers, every tree had its guardian spirit. Most are aligned with goodness and life, but some embody powers of darkness and evil." A Joe Wizan production. A William Friedkin film. The Guardian. Jenny Seagrove. Dwyer Brown. Carrie Lowell. Brad Hall. Miguel Ferrer. Natalia Nogovich. Pamela Brill. Gary Swanson. Jack David Walker. Willie Parsons. Frank Newell. Teresa Randall. Ray Reinhardt. Casting by Louis DiGiaimo. Music by Jack Hughes. Co-producers, Todd Black, Miki Borowski, Dan Greenberg. Film editor, Seth Flaum. Production designer, Greg Von Secke. Director of photography, John A. Alonzo, ASC. Executive producer, David Salvin. Based on The Nanny by Dan Greenberg. Screenplay by Stephen Volk and Dan Greenberg and William Friedkin. Produced by Joe Wizan. Directed by William Friedkin. Morning. A brown owl with large yellow eyes sits in a tree above a manicured front yard with a mailbox made to look like a little house with lights on. It has the name The Sheldons written below it. A view of the house, well-kept, large, with square windows and two square pillars on the second floor balcony. A baby with a diaper lies on a bed, surrounded by toys. A young boy climbs over him with a rattle.
"Hi, Leah. You want me to read you a story?"
The boy opens a pop-up book. It shows an old tree.
"Once upon a time, on the edge of a great forest, lived the woodcutter and his wife. They were poor and had barely enough to live on. But they loved each other, and they loved their two children, Hansel and Gretel. It was a time of famine."
A woman in a blue dress picks up trash from the floor and goes upstairs.
"Let alone their two children, they didn't know what to do. In the end, the woodcutter said, 'We'll have to take the children into the woods.'"
Another woman passes a man with no shirt on. She goes into the bathroom.
"While his wife was still sleeping the next morning,
she goes into a bedroom where the man is putting on a shirt and tie. She kisses him.
He said, 'Sit and sleep under this tree till I get to work. I'll wake you when it's time to go home.' But when they awoke, it was dark, and there was no sign of their father. They were alone in the big dark forest. All alone."
A woman packs a case with blouses, a picture of a baby, and a hard copy of Stephen King's It.
"Now Hansel and Gretel were very scared. They ran through the woods."
The woman in the blue dress picks up the baby's bottle from the floor next to the baby. She drops it in the trash can.
"Then they saw ahead of them a wonderful house that looked like a giant tree. But inside, there lived a wicked witch who killed children."
The second woman kisses her baby.
"And when the children came closer, tree began to move."
The woman in the blue dress stands up from an armchair.
"Get home, I'm gonna win."
The man kisses the boy.
"No way.
Yes,
I'll beat
yes,
you. No way. Yes. No.
Hello, little beauty."
He kisses the baby.
"Beauty. Bye, baby.
Bye, Diana. We'll see you Sunday night."
The couple leave and drive away. The woman in the blue dress, Diana, enters the children's room. She covers him with a blanket, and his book falls to the floor, opening at the page with the pop-up tree. She picks up the baby from the cot. In the parents' car, the woman checks her glass case.
Oh, honey, you're gonna love this. I forgot my glasses.
They arrive back at the house. She enters and goes upstairs. She takes her glasses. She pauses on the way downstairs and heads to the children's room. She smiles at the boy in bed and walks up to the cot. She peers in and looks suddenly worried. The full moon rises above a forest. Diana carries the baby into the woods. The mother runs out of the house. Diana raises the baby in front of the tree in the moonlight.
The blood of the child is pure now. In death, it gives you life.
The baby disappears and becomes a wooden carving on the trunk of the tree.
The cycle is complete.
Wolves arrive. She is wearing a red head covering and a hood. She stands by water.
Begin another.
Her reflection becomes a wolf. A view of downtown LA. On screen is written, 3 months later. A man in a large coat enters a building with the words Krasno Lee on it. He is in his late 20s with dark hair. He looks at a glass trophy that says, 1988 Best in the West Television First Award, Gail Krasno Lee, AT&T. He looks at other awards. He is in a busy, brightly colored office. A man in a pink shirt enters.
You expecting snow?
Oh.
Bill Sterling, right?
Yeah.
Ralph Hess.
Good to meet
Welcome
you.
Welcome to the belly of the beast.
They shake hands, and they leave the room. The man in the pink shirt, Ralph, leads the other man, Phil, through a busy television studios.
I'll look at those layouts this afternoon, okay?
He introduces him to a blonde woman.
Gail, say hello to Phil Sterling.
Hello.
How was the flight?
Terrific.
First time in L.A.?
Yeah.
They sit at a table, and the woman looks through Phil's advertising portfolio.
This is terrific. Great face. These are all good. It's unusual to see a public service campaign with a sense of humor and irreverence.
Thank you.
We're doing a lot of public service, and there's no reason why it shouldn't look just as good as the rest of our stuff, you know?
I understand.
Well, at the agency in Chicago, it was a hands-on thing for you. Well, that's a little different out here. We have media planners, marketing consultants, creative directors. Is that going to be a problem?
I'm happy where I am. I built a reputation in Chicago, and we love living there.
Do you want the job?
Yes.
An empty pool. Phil and his wife, elegant with short brown hair, enter the house. The door is broken.
Charming.
Oh, I can fix that.
Can we afford this?
We can rent it for 6 months, till we find something.
It has potential.
Potential? We're coming from a two-bedroom apartment on the west side of Chicago.
It's an Ed Runcie house, did you know that?
Runcie?
Yeah, the architect.
Nighttime. They sit naked, covered in a blanket by a fireplace in a stylish living room.
The room up there by the kitchen?
Yeah.
It's gonna make a beautiful den.
Really? I thought we should sort of have a guest for
you. I don't want any guests. Who do we know anyway? Who do you think people are gonna pop in from Chicago?
Oh, I don't know. You never know. Somebody might arrive unexpectedly.
One of your relatives?
Yeah, a relative, you could say. Only not to visit, maybe permanently.
Your mother?
No, not my mother. Smaller than my mother. Smaller.
God, smaller than your mother. A rat. A mouse. An ant. A germ.
That's close. Try sperm and you're warm.
She smiles. Sometime later, Phil's wife, Kate, is pregnant and paints a mural of a tree in a small white room. She struggles to put the paint down and leaves the room to follow the noise she heard. She finds a man wearing a hat and glasses by the front door.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm just trying to fix your door here. I really meant to do this before you moved in, but... I'm Ned Brency.
Honey, come meet the man who designed this house.
Oh.
She fetches Phil.
Yeah. Hi, Ned Brency. How you doing?
Hi.
Yeah.
You've built, what, 20 houses in the canyon?
Yeah, 25.
God, that's amazing.
Can I get you some coffee?
No, thanks.
She makes coffee.
Look what they did to my floor. Look at this.
Yeah, I was wondering about
that.
What
do they do? Bike raises in here or something? God, you know, look, I can have somebody come in here and polish this up and sand it up for you, okay?
Oh, no, that's
no
okay.
Charge.
You don't have...
No, really, come on.
I cannot tell you how happy I am to meet you. I'm an interior designer myself.
Oh, yeah?
Do you know whose homes have been in Architectural Digest, Bill?
Yeah, this one. This one was in Architectural Digest.
Really?
Yes, before they started having bike races in the dining room. Anyway, I just came by to say hello. I'm not going to bother you. I live right up the street if you need anything. I'm on Astral Drive.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a funny house with a big chimney.
Oh, I think I know that house.
Skylights, yeah.
Yeah, that, yeah.
The room shakes. A picture falls off the wall.
What the hell?
I think we just had a five.
Yeah. Ned checks the door frame.
Hey, look at this. Had a crack.
Kate looks in the mirror wearing a long white nightgown. She is heavily pregnant.
I'm never going to be human looking again, you know?
Phil gets out of bed and goes to her. He holds her.
I love you, Roseanne Barr.
They embrace.
Harder now. Three. Harder, Kate. Give it all you got.
Kate is giving birth.
Five. Come on. Here comes ahead. Okay. Just breathe.
Keep it up.
Just
keep
breathe.
It
okay.
Push.
Come on. Push,
two,
push, push.
Three.
Okay, the head is out. Okay. It's a boy. It's a boy.
The baby is born.
He looks real good.
He's beautiful.
I'll let you see him in just a minute. Okay? He looks real good. We're just going to suction him out here.
Phil washes the newborn and hands him to Kate.
Hi there. Honey.
So pretty.
Kate lays him down on a cot. She is in the yard with Phil.
I think we can just about make it.
He hands her a pad of paper.
With both of us working, huh?
Yeah, why? You having second thoughts?
No, I want to work. I just want to do what's right for Jake.
Phil kneels by the cot.
Your folks worked. Mine did. It's normal. It's good for him to grow up knowing he's got to work. Isn't that right, Jake?
I agree, Guzzle Toes. And I want to keep my decorator's license, you know? But I'm just having such a good time doing this. I just don't want to miss out on anything.
We'll do this for 2 years. Then we'll be solid enough you can do what you want.
Okay.
She has the yellow pages open.
Well, I've looked at some child care agencies. I think we ought to try this one, Guardian Angel. It's in Santa Monica.
Nighttime, it's raining. Phil and Kate are asleep. Jake is awake in his cot.
It's your turn.
It was my turn last time.
No, you slept through my turn.
Let's both sleep through my turn.
Go.
Phil gets up.
You know, sleep deprivation is a well-known form of torture.
He feeds Jake a bottle.
Hey, Jakey. Hey, buddy.
A montage of interviewing nannies. Nanny number one.
I work Mrs. Hones, Herman Oaks, 3 years.
I work Mr. Mrs. Hansen 4 years in Longaby.
Longaby?
Longaby.
Oh, Long Beach.
Ah, see, see.
I suppose you want to breastfeed.
Nanny number two.
For the first 6 months.
Yeah. 6 months? Dr. Klein said that 4 months would be plenty.
Well, of course, there are differing opinions these days.
Well, actually, I've been having some difficulty. It's too watery or something.
You like television, Mrs. Horniman?
Oh, yes, I love the comedies. Family Ties, The Golden Girls, and the good heartwarming stuff.
See, I've only looked after one baby. You know, it's not the kind of thing that I want to do for the rest of my life.
Number three.
Well, actually, Miss Russell, we're really only thinking about the next 4 or 5 years. Miss Russell, please call me Arlene.
Okay.
You see, what I want to do is I want to teach phys ed. I'm taking evening classes over at Claremont College, so we would definitely have to work out some kind of schedule.
We can do that. I just can't. Oh, I just can't get over a baby on the swim at 1 month.
Put this little thing in water? Yeah, that's the time you start them. See, kids are natural swimmers. They haven't learned to be frightened of things like water yet.
So, I mean, the world's moving so fast, and...
Number four.
Well, I think children need interaction with other children, don't you?
Yeah, she is young,
I do, actually.
Beautiful, with long, light, wavy hair.
Do you have a steady boyfriend?
Nobody I've met so far quite makes the grade.
These references?
Oh, yes.
Is there anything you'd like to ask us, Miss...
Grandier. Yes, how old is your son?
He'll be 2 weeks this Thursday.
Oh, October's child.
Yeah.
Libra.
Right.
Is it possible to see him?
Sweetheart, are you awake? Is somebody here to see you?
Jake cries and is caught.
He's beautiful.
The nanny picks him up.
What's his name?
Jake.
Hello, Jake.
Yes. Such a dear boy. Is he breastfeeding?
No. I tried him in the first few days, but he didn't like it. The colostrum was too watery. He seems happier on the formula.
The milk comes from deep inside you. It's supposed to be watery. Water's what he needs most. Especially in the first month. And you know there are antibodies in a mother's milk that no formula can duplicate.
So you think I should try again?
Yeah. It's really important. Did you know that after 4 weeks, the little blood cells change? Yeah. After 4 weeks, they're not baby cells anymore. They're just like ours.
She leaves. Phil closes the front door.
She's very attractive.
Not bad.
Some might say too attractive.
Do I detect a note of jealousy?
No, just a note of concern.
They sit at the table.
You tell me first.
No, you go first.
Write it down.
Okay. Wait. Ready? Go.
They show each other pads of paper at the same time. The second nanny they saw falls off her bicycle down a slope. She lands dead, covered in blood, on a cactus. Kate opens the door.
Hi.
Hello, Mrs. Sterling.
You can call me Kate.
Oh, thank you.
Come in, Miss Grandier.
The final nanny they saw enters.
Call me Camilla.
Nighttime, a view of the pool. Camilla talks to Jake.
I brought some friends to meet you.
She shows him a toy frog.
This is Holt. This is Jamara.
She shows him a toy rabbit.
And this is Pie Wacket.
And a toy white owl.
They're your friends, Jake. They're your bestest friends.
They are left in his cot. A view of the corridor leading to Kate and Phil's bedroom. It's dark, but their door is ajar. Phil lies awake. He sees the shadow of branches on the ceiling. He looks again and sees the shadow of a figure. He turns away. Shirtless, he sketches drawings of a mother and baby. He listens to the radio.
I'm Deirdre O'Donohue, and while everybody else is off dreaming, I think I'll play something for us by an excellent group from Australia who call themselves the Trippids. This is David McComb and his band from Perth with Wide Open Road.
He drinks from a can. The room shakes. He grabs the drafting board.
What?
The shaking stops. The woman on the radio speaks.
Did you feel that too? I don't think that was the big one, but it was big enough to really rattle things around here at KCRW.
Phil goes back into his room. Kate is sound asleep.
There's cassettes and discs all over the floor here. Oh, I think my heart's down there, too. I do not like it when the earth does things like that.
The painting above the bed has been knocked. He straightens it.
I'll check on where that one came from and find out how big it was and...
He runs to Jake's room.
Let me play something for us by Roger Eno. I think that should sort out our nerves. This will be from his most recent album called Between Tides. And I'll see.
He approaches the cot. It's empty. He backs away, then hears voices. He opens the bathroom door and finds Camilla in the bath with Jake.
Hello, Mr. Sterling.
He turns away.
Excuse me.
It's all right.
You feel that?
Yeah, it was just another earthquake, wasn't it?
I was, I couldn't sleep, and I came up to the baby's room and,
I ran a bath, and guess who woke up and decided it was playtime? You are so cheeky, aren't you? You are, aren't you? Yeah.
I think we're so lucky sometimes.
Jake's the lucky one, aren't you? To have a father like you. I never knew my father. My mother died when I was not much bigger than Jake.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to put him down now? I think he's about ready.
Phil places Jake back in the cot.
Good night, buddy. Sweet dreams. Don't let the bed bugs bite. I love you.
Phil sees Camilla drying herself. She's naked with her back to him. She looks at him, smirks, and turns away. He's now in the kitchen. The radio is still on. He gets a carton of ice cream from the refrigerator.
Too bad, as far as these things go, considering that we're crazy enough to keep a living on top of it all. A 3.9 is the report I've got, centered about 10 miles off the coast. No major damages or injuries.
He scoops some into a glass.
Jars off shelves. Jangled nerves, the usual for Southern California.
He goes back to his illustrations and draws.
Let's just keep sliding through the night together on KCRW with a piece by the Sydney-based group Not Drowning Waving from their album Claim.
He falls asleep at his drafting board. He wakes up, confused by something. He finds a pop-up book of Hansel and Gretel, the same as the boys from before. He opens it to the gnarled three-dimensional tree. He looks up and sees an image of the tree, life-size, looming over Jake. Its roots covering his cot. Yeah. Phil watches as Jake reaches upwards with his little hand into the darkness. A huge black wolf's head roars above him. An image of the tree. Baby's faces are etched into its bark, and blood flows out of it. Phil runs through water in the dark. The yellow-eyed brown owl rests on the tree's branches. Phil hammers at the window from outside. The owl flies off, and Phil wakes up at his drafting board. It was a nightmare. He stands and walks across the room. Daytime. A bee sits on a flower. Camilla feeds Jake on a blanket in a field.
Soon, Jake. Soon. It'll be time to go to the sacred forest. You'll have mother's milk today. You missed it, didn't you? Yeah.
She chucks the bottle aside. She turns her head, which emits a strange sound. She sees two punks approaching through the woods.
Hey, sweetheart. What's happening? Is that your purse over there?
They drink beer. Her head turns again.
What's your name, little guy?
She sees a third. They surround her. One takes cash from her purse.
What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? Hey, is that little guy yours?
Yes.
You know, you shouldn't be out here so late. It gets weird out here.
Would you like us to walk you home?
No, thank you.
Why not?
Keep away. I warn you.
Ooh. You warn me? You don't fucking warn me, bitch.
One draws a dagger.
I warn you.
One touches her. She runs.
Where are you going?
Hey, come on back!
She carries Jake as they chase her deeper into the forest. The punks step in a stream and keep running. The punks stumble. Camilla runs up a wider part of the stream. The punks chase her. They all dart through undergrowth. The punks emerge in a hollow with dead branches.
Where the fuck did she go? I need a fucking beer. Oh, shit. Oh, bitch.
They move around. They move. The woods get thicker and darker.
She came this way. What do you think? You ever been out here before?
No.
They stop and see a huge, gnarled tree looming above them. They stare at it. They get closer. Dead bushes surrounding the tree are covered in webs. The punk with the knife sees something among the roots of the tree. He smiles and moves towards it. He finds Camilla and throws her to the ground.
We're gonna have some fun. Aren't we? You and me. Right.
Grabs her face and beats her. Another finds Jake under the roots.
Ooh. Well, how you doing there, big boy? You want to come out and play?
Leave him alone!
The first draws his knife.
Look at this. See this?
He holds it to her face.
Cut the bitch! What's this?
He lifts her shirt with it.
Oh, pretty.
He cuts her stomach and blood pours out.
What the hell is that?
Branches come alive and decapitate one of the men. Another is bound by a root and suffocated. A third tries to run, but another root catches his leg. The punk being bound is swallowed by a huge mouth that appears in the trunk. Wolves eat the body of the decapitated punk. The third is impaled by a sharp root. Camilla holds Jake. The bodies burn as Camilla lights candles. Phil and Kate have a work dinner party. Camilla opens the door to Ned.
Hello. Do come in.
Hi.
Anyway, they bought us on the 75-second commercial.
The guests sit, talking.
We're telling a story in this.
Camilla walks upstairs.
You can't believe the product. That is enormous.
It wasn't that
it was
cool.
Good.
But getting back to the one we did. Tell the story. It's funny. It has a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
Sex violence.
So that's your best commercial. What's your second best commercial?
Well, I'm not saying it's the best.
They eat.
When I was a little kid, I'm like 13 years old, and my parents made the mistake of leaving me in the house all alone for a weekend.
That's a good mistake.
Yes. When they came back, I had completely, totally rebuilt the living.
Stop.
I did. Oh, I did not put in skylights. This is the truth. In a little bathroom with terracotta.
You're 13?
Guatemala. I took a day and a half.
Where did you get the money?
What did I say?
Camilla serves wine.
They hired me to do the garage.
Why didn't you just ask their permission?
She walks into the kitchen.
Would you let a 13-year-old rebuild your
home? Let me ask you a question. What is the story with that woman? I mean, she cooks, she cleans, she takes care of the baby. What else does she do?
Shopping?
It's unbelievable. Where's she from?
She's from England. London. She used to work at Ormond Street Hospital for sick children.
Hey, how'd you guys find her?
Well, that's a really strange thing. We had originally liked this other girl better.
She wasn't your first choice? I want to see the first choice. I want her phone number. I'm serious.
Ned is in the bathroom. He switches the light off. It's pitch black. Camilla peels back a blood-soaked bandage on her abdomen.
You okay?
She pulls something off the wound as Ned comes in. She covers it up.
Something wrong?
No, nothing. I'm fine. It's an accident.
Let me see that.
No, please.
You got a doctor?
Yes.
Who? Who are you seeing?
Oh, I have an appointment tomorrow. And...
Where?
In Westwood.
How are you going to get down there?
Oh,
No, I could take you if you...
Oh, no, thanks. Really, it's all right.
You're
very kind, yes. Thank you.
Okay.
He leaves.
Oh.
Kate carries Jake to the guests.
Look at
that guy. Oh, God, look at that.
Oh,
unbelievable. You guys did this?
He's great,
isn't he?
Can I
hold up?
Yeah, sure.
He looks like Winston Churchill.
Oh.
Hello.
He doesn't smoke cigars yet.
Oh, what a sweetie. What did you want to hold him,
Ralph? No, huh?
Camilla opens the refrigerator as Ned approaches.
Camilla. Did they ever give you a night off around here?
Yes, every Tuesday.
Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a house going up around the corner on Salteri. It's pretty interesting, really. It's a lot different than this one. You could come by and check it out.
No, I don't think so. Thank you.
No, maybe when you're feeling better.
Okay.
Okay, great. I'll see you.
Thank you.
The guests leave.
Okay, bye. Great being here. Thanks a lot. Yeah, great baby.
Thank you. Phil carries Jake to his room and paces with him.
Come on, sweetheart. Go to sleep for Daddy. Come on. Come on, Jakey. Go to sleep, baby. Come on. Yeah.
Camilla appears in the doorway behind Phil. The mobile above Jake's cot starts playing. Phil turns and sees Camilla. She holds out her hands, and Phil passes Jake to her. She places Jake in his cot. Phil takes a pill in the bathroom and gets in a bed. The shadows of the branches are cast on the ceiling again. A shadow of a figure obscures them. Phil watches the shadows. He falls asleep. A hand with a ring and manicured nails caresses skin. It undresses Phil as he sleeps and caresses his leg. Phil wakes up, turns around, and kisses Kate next to him. They begin to make love. Her naked torso is in front of him. He caresses her. There is a small red mark on her stomach. He looks up to her face and sees Camilla instead. He wakes up suddenly. Another nightmare. Kate wakes up next to him.
What is it, honey?
He lies back down. In the morning, Phil carries a briefcase to the kitchen. Camilla is drying cups.
Morning.
How's Jake?
Slept like a log. How about you?
Phil takes the newspaper and sits down.
Would you like some breakfast?
Just a coffee. Black. Please.
She pours his coffee. Phil briefly looks at her. He goes to Jake's cot. He picks him up gently.
Don't work too hard today, okay?
kisses him and sets him down again. He leaves the room and passes Camilla at the door.
Have a nice day, Mr. Sterling.
Thanks.
Camilla goes to Jake.
Can you feel it, Jake? In a few days, your blood is pure.
Nighttime. A view of the empty pool.
Let's go see Camilla.
Kate carries Jake and knocks on Camilla's door.
Hey. Hi.
Camilla is powdering her face. Kate enters.
You look good.
Thank you.
I started breastfeeding today.
How'd it go?
It went well. He loved it. He felt great.
Kate helps Camilla put a dress on.
Will you zip me up? What's with the bandage? Oh, it's just like Sister was telling you about.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Camilla sits down.
So where are you going?
Down to Melrose, look at some shops.
Meeting someone?
No, just me.
I'm jealous. I miss girls' night out. We were a bunch of crazy art school girls in Chicago.
That's how I met Phil, actually.
Yeah?
In a pizza parlor. They dared me to ask him if he was a virgin.
Was he?
Actually, he's never said to this day.
So how are you gonna get there?
I'm gonna walk.
Oh, don't walk. Let me give you a ride. You realize how far that is?
Yeah, it's okay. I love walking. Anyway, it'll do me good. So now remember, burp them after each breast, and if you get sore, his formula's on the kitchen table, okay?
Okay.
Camilla leaves.
Night-night.
You'll be good.
I'll miss you. Oh, I'll miss him.
She walks off into the night.
Night.
The wind picks up. Inside, Kate does handwork next to a fire. She answers the door.
Favorite kid.
He's fine. He's sleeping in the living room. You want to see him?
Actually, is Camilla home?
No, she's not. Was she expecting you?
No. Well, we didn't have formal plans, but I heard about this band at work, and I thought maybe she wanted to go check him out. I was going to take her down to her doctor first.
The doctor?
Yeah. She had something wrong with her side.
She never said anything about the doctor. Actually, she said she was going to go window shopping.
Hmm.
She just left. You probably.
No.
Ned has flowers.
Ned. Here, why don't you take these?
No. Come on, she just left. You could probably
forget.
Get her. She just wanted
I'm
to
I'm a little late.
Ned, come on. Late for what?
Mom, I'm trying
late
to
for Camilla.
Along.
Go after her.
Ned runs outside and gets in his car. Ned drives. Camilla walks through sprinklers along the dark road. Ned in his car approaches. He stops the car and looks out of the window, concerned. He sees Camilla running into the woods. He gets out and up to a metal fence. Camilla is beyond it.
Camilla!
He takes off his jacket and climbs the fence. He reaches the other side and follows Camilla. He sees her wander deeper in and follows. He watches her disappear behind the trees. Something flies past him. A frog leaps from the ground. Ned steps in the stream and sees Camilla.
Camilla!
He runs downstream. He reaches the gnarled tree, which stands tall in the moonlight. Through the branches, he sees Camilla's dress hanging on a branch. He looks beyond and sees her bathing naked in the stream. He watches her. He looks away, then turns back to her. She's gone. He spots her, naked on the limb of the tree. He watches. Wolves circle her. Water runs from the bark of the tree, and Camilla washes herself with it. Ned watches her, lying naked and serene on the tree, pearly in the moonlight. Small branches of the tree move and caress her, like hands. As they do, her skin takes on a pallor, as if she's becoming part of the tree. She reaches out and touches the branches. They touch her face, and her head becomes petrified like the bark of the tree, etched into it like the baby's faces. Ned sees a wolf appear from a hollow and runs. Stumbling, becoming bruised and bloody. He reaches the metal fence and climbs over it. He runs back to his house and quickly unlocks the front door. He enters. He jams a chair under the doorknob. He runs into the kitchen and pours himself a drink. He drinks and picks up the phone. A wolf runs behind the kitchen window, and the back door blows open. He goes and bolts it shut. He looks outside and sees a wolf in a large tree. He runs to the phone and dials again. Wolves pace behind the windows.
Yes. Okay, my name is Runcie. I'm at 1201 Astral Drive. Right. I want to report a... Runcie. Yes, R-U-N-C. Look, just listen to me, please. Okay, there's coyotes in my yard. Yeah. No, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. What? No, don't tell me it isn't possible. Look, they're right outside my fucking house, okay? No. Okay, they don't come down until they're hungry. That's fine. They're hungry, all right? They're hungry. They're here, all right? Yeah. No. Listen, please. You send somebody, okay? Astral. Hello? Hello?
He slams the receiver down as the wolves continue pacing. He closes another door and looks out of the window. He picks up the phone again and dials. The answering machine in Kate and Phil's house clicks. Jake's toys are on the floor.
Hi, we're not home right now, so leave a message after the tone and we'll call you back. Thanks, bye.
Phil, listen to me. I saw something and I can't believe what I just saw.
Kate is asleep. Ned turns. Wolves run against the windows. He runs into the bedroom, closes the door, and grabs a shotgun from a niche in the wall. He looks down the barrel and searches for shells. He goes to run out of the room, but hears the snarl of a wolf. He turns around. It's behind him. He backs out of the closed door. A wolf's leg breaks the door. Ned runs and crawls outside through an open window. He hugs the wall, shotgun raised. He edges his way around the house. He turns a corner and sees Camilla sitting naked on a wall. Her hands over her face. Her face is now uncovered. Her skin is green and gray, like the bark of a tree.
You shouldn't have followed me.
He runs back into the house, rushes into the basement, and freezes. He searches for shells. He finds some and loads his gun. He sits in a corner and looks around. gets up to follow the noise. The door opens at the top of the stairs. He points his gun.
You come down here, I'll blow you away.
He looks across the room. Suddenly, wolves emerge and run towards him. They tear him apart, clawing his face. Camilla's hand runs over the bloody telephone receiver. The blood disappears. Ned's body is dragged away and vanishes. Phil comes out of his bedroom. He sees there is a telephone message. He presses the button. As he listens, Camilla enters upstairs.
Mr. Sterling, we don't know each other, but my name is Molly Sheridan. I got your number from the Guardian Angel Agency. I hope I'm not inconveniencing you, but I need to talk to you. It's very important. Will you please call me? My number's 805-295-8170.
Phil, listen to me. I saw something tonight.
Mr. Sterling, would you come and look at Jake?
Something wrong?
I'm not sure.
He follows Camilla.
What is it?
I think he looks a bit pale, don't you?
Oh, yeah. How you doing, Jakey? How you feeling?
I got worried about him when I came in this morning. He's usually awake, and he wasn't.
I don't know. What do you think?
Maybe he just needs some fresh air.
Do me a favor. Call Dr. Klein.
Oh, I don't think it's that serious, really.
Let's not guess. Call Dr. Klein.
Daylight. Phil's Jeep drives along a residential road lined with palm trees. The sun is shining. He pulls into Molly Sheridan's driveway. He gets out and rings the doorbell. He rings again. Molly opens the door. She wears a blue shirt and looks drawn and exhausted.
Yes?
Mrs. Sheridan? I'm Phil Sterling.
Please come in.
Phil enters.
This is my son, Scott.
Hello, Scott.
Hi.
They sit.
Do you know a woman called Diana Julian?
Molly is teary.
I'm sorry, I don't.
It's not her name anyway. She always uses different names. But it is possible you know her.
Why do you think so?
You know the Guardian Angel Agency?
Yes.
The person that takes care of your child is from there.
That's right.
The person that took care of Leah, Diana Julian, she called herself, was recommended by Guardian Angel, or so we thought. She worked for us just under a month. We loved her. We trusted her, and then she took Leah away. Now the police can't find her. All her references fake. All the addresses she left us fake. We didn't find out till it was too late.
I want to help you, Mrs. Sheridan, but I don't understand.
Don't you see, the police are doing everything they can, but they think Leah is dead. If I thought that, I couldn't go on. So I'm doing whatever I can. I hired a private detective who got the client list from Guardian Angel. I thought maybe somebody else had this woman in their house.
I see.
I called everyone on the list I could find. People have been very cooperative. Apparently, it's happened before. I am sure it's her. You have a young child, don't you? A little boy?
Yes, but this is all too hard for me to accept.
Who takes care of it?
I understand how you feel.
No, you don't. I hope you never do. I hope you never have to wake up and find out your worst nightmare is real.
Do you have a picture of Miss Julian?
No.
What does she look like?
She's about 27. My height. Thin, gray eyes, fair skin, attractive. She has an accent.
What kind of accent?
I'm not sure. European, I think. Maybe English.
What color hair?
Dark brown, almost red.
The girl who works for us has light-colored hair. She's been...
She has something on her stomach.
What?
Like a mark or something. Here, on her stomach.
You know her, don't you?
It's not possible.
Is it Diana?
It can't be.
Will you let me see her?
She could have changed her appearance, but... I'll have to talk to her first. No, no, it's not Camilla.
Camilla? Why won't you let me see her?
I will, but you're gonna have to let me...
Do you know where Leah is?
No, Scott. I don't.
He goes to Scott and points at his book.
What's this?
Diana gave it to me.
It's the pop-up book with the tree. Phil stands and faces Molly.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to arrange for me to see her without her knowing it. If it is her, she'll panic and she's dangerous.
I don't believe it's Camilla. Our baby's fine. She takes wonderful care of him, as though he were hers.
That's how we felt. How old is your son?
4 weeks.
That was Leah's age. Last time I saw her.
Phil gets home.
Camilla? Camilla?
He goes into her room. She's not there. He checks Jake's cot. It's empty. He goes down to his bedroom and opens doors.
Camilla!
He goes to the telephone and listens to the messages. Listens again.
Phil, listen to me. I saw something and I can't believe what I just saw. Camilla, you gotta believe me. Don't let that woman back in your house.
He dials Ned's number. No answer. He gets up and leaves. He runs to Ned's house.
Ned! Ned!
He walks around.
Your door wide open?
He peers down the basement.
Ned?
He heads to the backyard. He goes back inside and looks around. He notices a crack on the wall and touches it. He moves into the kitchen and finds the phone dangling off the counter. He puts it back and looks around. A bird flaps and flies away outside. He runs home. He goes inside and hears Camilla's voice. She is in the living room with Jake.
It's time, Jake. Don't be afraid.
Where the hell have you been?
Mr. Sterling.
Where have you been?
We spent the morning at the zoo and then we had to wait for a bus.
Did Dr. Klein see him?
No, I didn't think it was necessary.
I told you I wanted Dr. Klein to see him.
He's perfectly fine. He had a lovely time, actually.
Sure he had a lovely time. Babies always have a lovely time. He has a lovely time lying on the rug.
Will you please stop shouting?
Kate looks into the living room.
What's going on here?
I told Kate I didn't think he needed a doctor.
That's right, she did. What's the matter?
He plays the answering machine.
Talking about?
I don't know.
Listen to his voice. He's scared to death.
Camilla smiles.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I want you out of my house.
Phil! I have to see to Jake.
What's going on?
Take your hands off my son.
He takes Jake.
Stop, don't touch him like that.
Take him to bed. You know who I saw today, Camilla? Molly Sheridan. You know Molly Sheridan, don't you?
No.
You took care of the Sheridan children, didn't you? You took care of Leah Sheridan, didn't you?
No.
Phil, what is this?
She took the Sheridan baby.
How dare you?
I made some calls today. Calls I should have made a long time ago, but thank God I made them today. The first was to a Harold Freeman of Madison, Wisconsin.
How is Mr. Freeman?
I don't know how he is, but he's not in Madison, Wisconsin. People at this number never heard of Harold Freeman.
I remember getting a letter from Mrs. Freeman. They moved to Oak Park, Michigan. Mrs. Freeman's mother.
You've got the letter?
Yes, I may have.
What about Dr. Miller in Athens, Ohio? The number doesn't exist.
Well, Dr. Miller must have changed his telephone system.
The operator said this number never exists. But every single number I call, nobody's heard of you. I talked to the employment agency, Guardian Angel. They said, yes, they have a Camilla Grandier registered with them, but no, she wasn't recommended for this job.
Why are you doing this?
Let her do the talking. What do you say, Camilla? Or is it Diana? Diana Julian?
It's true, I wasn't recommended by the agency.
Who are you? Name me one person who can confirm who you are, besides Molly Sheridan.
I heard about the job through a very dear, close friend of mine.
Who?
She persuaded me to come along. She got my resume to you.
Give me her name. Give me her number.
She's a good friend of mine. She was very kind to me.
What was her name?
Arlene Russell.
An image of the nanny who crashed her bicycle.
That's a lie, like everything else you told us. Hey, I want you to come to Molly Sheridan's
house. I most certainly will.
Oh, no, of course you won't.
I'm not staying in this house a minute longer.
Good, because I don't want you there. Diana Julian, whatever the hell your name is, you're fired.
Phil throws Camilla on the bed, along with her suitcase.
Get out of my house.
He takes her clothes from the closet and stuffs them into her case.
Rid of all this stuff!
Kate enters with Jake.
Something's wrong with him. Phil, something's wrong.
Phil and Kate are in the hospital with Jake. A gray-haired male doctor examines him. Jake is alive, but unresponsive.
long has he been like this?
About 3 hours.
He hasn't opened his eyes at all.
Is his breathing normal?
Oh, yes, fine.
Oh, thank God.
Has he eaten anything?
I think he last ate around lunchtime today or something.
The doctor shines a light in Jake's eyes.
Why won't he wake up?
Several possibilities. One would be meningitis.
What's that?
Inflammation of the lining of the brain. Which could be why he's not responding to stimuli.
How long can he stay like this?
Oh, not longer than 24 hours, but that's...
That's what? But then what? After 24 hours, what?
Have you started him on the new formula?
I started breastfeeding him again.
I see. You didn't tell me.
You don't think that that's what...
No, no. Well, we could run some tests with Kate, but that's so remote. I'm going to check his glucose level, just to rule out hypoglycemia. Then we can start looking into neurological possibilities.
Jake lies on the examination table, as if asleep. He's now in an incubator. Kate prays, and Phil has his head in his hands in the corner of the room.
Oh, God. If you hear me, just make my baby better. Please. Please help.
Phil comes and holds Kate. Jake stirs and opens his eyes.
He's okay.
God. I'll find Dr. Klein.
Phil leaves the room. Kate smiles at Jake. She turns round to see Camilla behind her.
Camilla, what are you doing here?
I couldn't leave without little Jake. He needs me. And I need him. Don't be afraid. He's not going
to come to any
harm.
He doesn't need you. Just stay away from him.
See?
The doctor is coming, Camilla.
He'll have eternal life through me.
Don't!
Isn't that
just leave
beautiful?
Him alone. Stop it! Camilla, don't!
Camilla takes Jake.
What are you doing? Don't move him! Phil!
Phil blocks her way.
You take your hands off my baby.
He takes Jake and hits Camilla to the ground. Phil and Kate run. They drive out of the hospital, breaking the barrier with the car.
Hold on, hang on!
They race into the night. The wind is howling. They arrive home. Phil gets out of the car.
Take him. Do you have him?
Yeah.
He takes Jake. Kate opens the door. Just inside is a large black wolf. They close the door. A white wolf runs up to the back gate.
Oh my God! Get behind the fence!
They run around the back as the wolf chases them.
Get behind the fence!
Kate gets behind the fence.
Let's go! Let's go! It's a baby! Go for the baby! I'll meet you at the entrance to the woods!
She gets inside as Phil runs into the woods. Kate climbs the stairs of the house, terrified. Phil gets deeper into the woods. Kate advances carefully. She snatches her keys and leaves the house. She runs to the car. Phil stumbles with Jake and sees a figure dressed in white approach him. Wolves climb the car with Kate inside. They claw at the windshield. Kate puts the key into the ignition as a wolf cracks the windshield. She reverses, running over one of the wolves, killing it. Phil makes his way through the trees in the howling wind. Camilla's form appears when his back is turned. Kate drives through the metal fence at the entrance to the forest. Phil sees Camilla levitate in the air and follow him, floating. Kate drives right into the woods, searching for Phil. Camilla gaining on him as he nears the gnarled tree. Just as Camilla reaches the ground, Kate steps on the gas and rams the car directly into it. Camilla is thrown through the air. Camilla's body lies inert, surrounded by the roots of the tree. Phil sees the faces of babies etched into its bark. Daylight. Kate and Phil are in the police department. A detective walks through a corridor to see them in an empty office. Kate carries Jake.
Are you able to get some sleep?
No, not much.
I'm sorry, that spare office is the only one with a couch.
It was fine.
How's the little guy?
He's better. He had some breakfast.
I have a son, 2 years old.
Yeah?
The detective closes the door.
Okay, let's start at the beginning.
They all sit. The detective opens a file.
The Guardian Angel Agency had a woman named Grandier, but they never sent her to you. She moved back to New Orleans a few months ago.
We knew that.
You say your lady was British?
Well, that's what she said.
They have no record of her at immigration.
I told you her ID was fake. Her references were fake.
We went back to the woods behind your house. I had it photographed from top to bottom.
You saw the tree?
Mm-hmm.
The babies?
You mean the carvings?
They're not carvings. That's... That's where she took the babies. She takes
Mr. Sterling, we didn't find her body.
What?
Jeep tracks everywhere, like you said.
Of course there were Jeep tracks. I hit her with the Jeep. I ran her over. I hit her full force. I mean, the Jeep must have been going 50 miles an hour.
I know.
I killed her. She was dead.
I saw her. She's dead.
Did you feel her pulse?
No, I didn't feel her pulse. I'm telling you that the lady.
You know what you're telling me, Mr. Sterling. You also told me she was flying at you through the trees.
I know how that sounds.
You do?
It's the truth.
You seem like decent people. But what you're saying makes no sense. I know you've had a terrible experience. I'm not sure just what, but it's
obvious.
You're
not making this up.
I don't know what I can do to help. There is no body, no crime. Your son is okay, thank God. But there's no evidence that the woman you describe ever existed. I suggest you go to a hotel. I can send a man with you. Get some rest. And then, if you want, you can talk to the psychologist.
That's all right. Thank you. You've been really helpful.
They get up.
What are your plans?
Go back to the house, pack our things. Get the hell out of here.
Then what?
Back at the house, Phil picks up a chainsaw lying by a pile of logs. He walks into the woods. Kate carries Jake into her bedroom.
Daddy will be home soon, honey. Then we're going.
Shh. Phil crosses the stream.
Really?
Kate talks to Jake.
Really? He said so? You're kidding.
Phil continues downstream. Kate suddenly looks concerned. She holds Jake to her shoulder and gets up. She walks towards the closet. It. It's empty.
It's okay.
She turns around and sees Camilla in the corner of the room, naked. Her skin is the color of bark, and she has markings of a tree etched into it. She floats towards Kate and Jake.
I need the child.
No.
Before the blood changes.
Kate runs. Camilla floats towards her. Kate throws a vase at her and misses. She runs into Jake's room and slams the door. Phil reaches the tree and stares at it. Its knots look like a huge face. He sees the babies again and goes to start his chainsaw. Just as he does so, a branch hits him and throws him backwards. He drops the saw. He gets up and picks it up again. He starts hacking at the tree. It spills blood as he cuts. Another branch knocks him to the ground, and he drops the saw again. Roots emerge and bind him. He struggles to reach the saw. He succeeds and cuts himself free. The doorknob in Jake's room rattles as Kate panics. Camilla punches holes in the door as Kate tries to open the window. Kate gives up and takes refuge in the bathroom. Camilla turns suddenly, wide-eyed, as Phil continues to hack at the tree. Kate is chased by Camilla through the house. Phil cuts himself free and starts to hack at the main trunk. An etching of Camilla's face in the tree cries blood. Part of Camilla's neck bursts and bleeds. She jumps and grabs hold of Kate's leg, who falls and lets go of Jake. Kate reaches for Jake as Camilla holds her leg. Phil keeps cutting. Camilla's arm severs. Camilla throws Kate to the wall. As Camilla stumbles up the stairs to Jake, more parts of her body rupture and fall. Phil cuts a large branch cleanly off, and Camilla's leg explodes. She falls. Phil cuts through the main trunk and the tree topples. Kate runs at Camilla, pushing her violently. She falls through the upstairs window, shattering the glass. The tree hits the ground and vaporizes. Phil stumbles away. Kate picks up Jake gently. There is glass on the floor.
It's okay, honey. You're safe now.
Phil arrives back to the house and goes to Kate and Jake. His face is covered in blood from the tree. They hold each other and look out of the broken window. The yellow-eyed owl is sitting on the branch of the tree in their yard. It turns to the camera. The screen goes dark. The credits roll. On screen is written, cast: Camilla, Jenny Seagrove, Phil, Dwyer Brown, Kate, Carrie Lowell, Ned Runcie, Brad Hall, Ralph Hess, Miguel Ferrer, Molly Sheridan, Natalia Nogalich, Gail Krosno, Pamela Brawl, Alan Sheridan, Gary Swenson. More credits follow.